KINY Juneau. Now from the Alaska Airlines Studio, local first news for Juneau and all of Southeast Alaska.
From the capital city on KINY, I'm Grace Dumas, and here are the stories we're following this hour. The state has filed against the EPA and U.S. District Court. The Senate approves an easier and less invasive drug and alcohol testing method. Sealaska Heritage Institute is accepting proposals from presenters for a 2024 education conference. But first, today, the state of Alaska asked the U.S. District Court in Alaska to find the Environmental Protection Agency's order on state land in Bristol Bay unlawful. The order prohibits and restricts development of state land on 309 square miles in southwestern Alaska. The state is not endorsing any specific mining project and has not completed state-required permitting decisions for the mining company's proposal. The state believes that a development proposal should be allowed to complete the state and federal permitting process and not be unilaterally shut down by one federal agency before these regulatory processes perform their functions. When the United States tied up 309 square miles of state land in Bristol Bay with new regulations, it broke its contract with the state, violating the Cook Inlet Land Exchange of 1976 and violating the Statehood Act of 1953. In March, the state filed a complaint in the U.S. Court of Federal Claims asking for damages for its confiscated lands. The state estimates the value of the taken land at more than $700 billion. Last July, the state asked the U.S. Supreme Court to hear this case and order the EPA to correct its circumvention of a federal permitting process. The court denied that request, necessitating the filing of the two recent actions. Either of these new cases may be appealed, ultimately to the Supreme Court, if necessary. Employers and employees in Alaska would have a simpler option for drug and alcohol testing under Senate Bill 196, which passed the Senate unanimously yesterday. Sponsored by the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee, the bill would add saliva or oral fluids to the samples an employer may collect for testing. While urine tests provide evidence of the use of a drug over a longer window of time, oral fluids can show the presence of drugs in a person's system more quickly and at a lower concentration for some substances. In addition to an easier collection process, oral fluid testing may also cost the employer less than other methods. Together, these attributes could allow for more frequent testing, leading to greater on-the-job safety for employees, their coworkers, and members of the public. Sealaska Heritage Institute is accepting proposals from presenters for its 7th Culturally Responsive Education Conference, which is part of a larger effort to promote culturally responsive pedagogy in schools. Sealaska Heritage Institute is soliciting proposals from educators in Alaska and worldwide to present in-person or virtually. This year's theme is connecting culture, community, and curriculum. Early childhood, K-12, university, and community educators are encouraged to submit proposals for presentations related to the following topics: STEAM, traditional ecological knowledge, language revitalization or indigenous literacy, arts and cultural integration, indigenizing education. The extended deadline to submit proposals is April 21st, 2024. Coming up, a high school swimmer from Juneau has qualified for Olympic trials. That story next with Jazz Garrett, when local first news continues.
PJ Foy, a senior at Thunder Mountain High School, has qualified to compete in the Olympic trials. Foy achieved this milestone after hitting a personal best in the 100-meter butterfly last month at the Northwest Spring Sectionals in Washington State. He finished in 53.44 seconds, with the Olympic trials qualifying time being 53.59 seconds.
Not gonna lie, for a while I didn't even know. I looked at the wrong time on the scoreboard. It was a lot more of a shock after a few minutes, but that was probably one of the proudest moments of my life. That was one of my biggest goals I've ever set for myself.
He's been swimming his whole life and started swimming competitively when he was 6 years old. His big sister was a swimmer who got him started.
She's like my reason for getting up. She's my favorite person in the planet. She's been there every time. Like, she hasn't been at every meet, but if she wasn't at the meet, she called or texted, and I couldn't have done it without her.
He thanks his coaches and teammates for supporting him too. In June, Foy competes in Indianapolis alongside some of the best swimmers in the country for a spot on the U.S. team for the Paris Olympics.
Just going to the trials is just a cherry on top. It was everything leading up to that that was the good part for me. Drop time, have fun. That's my only goals, really.
Hoy is the 13th Alaskan in history to qualify for this meet, and he's the youngest athlete nationwide to meet the qualifying standard in the 100 butterfly. The last Alaskan to make it to the trial was Seward's Lydia Jacoby. She is the first Alaska-born swimmer to win a medal in the Olympics, which she accomplished in 2021. Foy holds multiple swim records in the state. After graduating high school in Juneau this May, he will swim to the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill to compete.
So after trials, I'm going to keep the training up for college because I really want to do well in college. I'll discuss my goals with the coaches at UNC once I get there. I'm really, really excited to contribute to that team and be able to study whatever I want, really. Be on relays again and, like, contribute to a team, or, like, not even be able to contribute yet. Like, go in freshman year not even able to make a team would be so cool, so that I have a goal to lead up to.
Capital Transit regrets to announce the temporary suspension of bus routes 5 and 6 effective April 22nd until further notice. The suspension is a direct result of current shortages in drivers and maintenance personnel. They chose to suspend routes 5 and 6 as they have the lowest ridership, aiming to affect the least number of riders during this challenging period. Affected riders are encouraged to use routes 3 and 4, which cover adjacent areas and can serve as viable alternatives during the suspension. They hope to restore service to the routes as soon as staffing capacity allows. And the Biden administration makes a big change in the gun business. ABC's Daria Albinger has details.
The White House is closing what's known as the gun show loophole. It's tightening up the definition of what it means to be in the business of selling firearms by requiring more people to register for a federal firearm selling license and to run a background check on the buyer. There are more than 80,000 licensed gun dealers in the U.S. The Justice Department estimates there are also over 20,000 unlicensed sellers who do their work online, at gun shows, and by other means. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now you're up to date with Local First News. I'm Jazz Garrett.